That was the first thing we used to cut, was oats. And the last thing we used to carry was oats.
And then, of course, when you got your rick made, you put something on top to keep the weather out.
Oh, yes, you tip him up, you see. You tip him up or make it like a roof of a house, you see. And then on comes the thatcher and thatching in, you see. Yes.
Was that a heavy job? Was it a big job?
Well, if you can make it out, it was a hard job, but not an exceedingly heavy job. Not until you get up over hand, and if you had to pitch him up over hand, then it come a little bit harder on you. But while you was starting down the bottom, you see, it was only just thrown off under hand, you see. It wasn't a hard job, but you had plenty enough to do because you was in the rick, we'll say, with the crew in the rick. Well, you had to go by those out in the field while I was loading. And they was a little bit smart out in the field loading. Well, you had to be smarter in rick to get the wagons free. Because our nature was, we didn't never like to see two wagons in rick at once.
No.
With any corn on them. We always liked to see the wagon empty when the next load had come in. And if so, two or three minutes between, we'd have a bit of baccy.
I see.
Yeah.
And then how long would it stay in the rick?
Well, that all depends. If the man wanted, if the farmer wanted his, wanted the money for the corn, but pay for his rent in, we'll say in October or anything like that, well, he'd dresh a rick or two. But mind you, if you didn't dresh a rick within, we'll say, first 6 weeks, you did not address it not before or after Christmas that then. Because he sweats, you see, the corn had sweat, you see. You really wanted to dress it. If you wanted to dress it early, you must dress it just after you made it, before the corn starts sweating in the rake.
Or else give it a chance to dry out.
Or give it a chance for the sweat to dry out of it. And that'd be up in December anyhow.
And what was the old way of dressing then?
Old way of dressing years and years ago, but I've never seen him once in my life. And that was down here, the Wellmer. And there was a man there with broils, dressing with broils on the barn floor. Two long sticks thrown over his shoulder like that, and every time they smack down on the floor, knock out the corn. Of course, the corn was on a bag, you see, and then they'd save it like that, you see.
Oh, you've actually seen that?
I seen that once. And I was only a small boy then when I did that. And, of course, I've been about, you see, I've been a threshing machine, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's quite natural, that is, you know.
Oh, yes, everything.
All threshing machines, see. Mm-hmm. Yes.
What about root crops? Did you grow root crops?
You always grow root crops. If you don't grow root crops, you can't get no food for sheep, you see. And if you don't have sheep on the land, you can't grow good corn. Mm. I don't trouble what nobody say. Sheep is the place for the farm. And that's what the land is missing now, is sheep. You see, the farmer years ago used to always grow, we'll say perhaps three fields of swedes, two or three fields of turnips. Well, then he used to grow catch crops as well after the turnips was finished and the swedes was finished. So as a shepherd could go in these catch crops, that means, you know, thatches or rye or three-folion or anything like that, you see. Well, the sheep was on the land all the year, be night time. All the year round. Those are just when they was lambing. And then they'd be, if they had a cozy place, was hard time or hard weather or anything, they'd take the sheep, they'd take their flock perhaps out of the fallow ground where it was a little bit cold and damp and put them in a loo place somewhere or another, and then they'd all the swedes to them, you see, there. That they was chiefly on between hurdles like pretty well every night during the year. And you see.